Welcome to the JRD Hawkcast.
I am your host, Dylan Lee, joined as always with my co-host, Jordan Russell, and our producer, Luke Briggs.
Well, I guess we'll just go ahead and start off with the disclaimer that we got a guy playing injured today, don't we?
It's all on you today, bud. I'm just here for moral support.
Moral support, you know. Is it this temperature changes on you, getting to you a little bit?
I don't know what it is. It's just all up in my head is all I know. Can't
so you're
breathe.
You're going to have
coughing.
One really nasally Jordan Russell today, so.
Yeah, I apologize up front for this.
But a lot of stuff going on. We're coming off some, we'll just go a slump, I guess, with the baseball team. Is that what we want to consider it?
On a three-game skid right now?
Definitely. So we dropped the last two to
Ole Miss,
and then we dropped the one to Little Rock. And
we dropped that one, like, really bad.
Yeah. So, bullpen. Pitching.
What's that?
Arms. I know they're, I guess, somewhat dinged up. The only one we could think of off the top of our head was Kostyshyk or whatever, right? So, wow. So,
Which game are you honing in on with bullpen? Or are you just kind of saying over the last three in general?
Yeah, we just really haven't had the arms like we've had in the beginning. But Dave Van Horn's messing with the lineup, and it looks like we're messing with the rotation in the same aspect. He talked about bringing Scroggins into a midweek role, so starting one of those deals, and then still going with Nolan on game two of the weekend series, and the third game being kind of an up-in-the-air kind of deal. So
that's not comforting right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like we've talked about. We kind of got off to a hot start. What was it, 21-4?
Mm-hmm.
And we both knew games would be dropped. I think we mentioned that on the show here. People are going to freak out. So I guess I might be falling victim to that a little bit because – so this past Tuesday, the Little Rock game, that was a disaster. That was – I mean, we – back and forth, slinky the lead a little bit, but
they got on us quick,
real bad. And, I mean, a couple errors. I know, Casey Martin and Jack Kinley had back to back errors right there in the midfield, but our pitching has just not been up to snuff. I know, who was in there. During those errors, I think it might have been maybe Marshall Denton was the pitcher at that point.
Yeah, I think it was Denton. Yeah.
And so that kind of made it a little bit worse for him. But overall, I mean, we're midweek games. We're throwing 6, 7, 8 guys, it seems like, every game.
Yeah, they definitely – and that's probably the move Scroggins to the midweek. And that because – right now, I think the closest thing to consistency that you have pitching-wise, you have Scroggins and Campbell.
Right.
Like, I think Wicklander, which has kind of been the guy to start the midweek, is still capable, but he's also kind of in that role of a Connor Nolan where I'm going to sit here and keep saying, shouldn't start games. Like, he should be out of the bullpen kind of deal.
He didn't do bad this past week, though. I mean, he didn't get a run on him. I think they were actually talking about maybe one of those should have been his because of where Ramage came in. But I don't know. Like I said, it's kind of – don't want to freak out because overall, I mean, it's not supposed to be another World Series year.
Yeah.
But you always want that. That's kind of what you're always shooting for. But the bullpen does need to be shored up. I don't really know the way to do that, but who would you put on Sunday?
Their damage really started on Ramage. So
Well, he came in, I believe, with a bases loaded situation.
Yep. So Wicklander went three and a third innings. Those three hits came in. He was responsible for three runs, I would assume. But they didn't give him ERA, so I don't know.
They didn't give him an earned run. I don't understand.
Because two walk bats and five strikeouts. He faced 18 batters. I mean, his pitch count for three innings, he got up to 71. So
that's not good.
Yeah, so Ramage had to come in, and then that's kind of where it got sideways. We already mentioned the Denton. He went two innings on it. So one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight pitchers. Yeah.
That's just not where you want to be. And then once again, Burton came in and didn't do anything.
Yeah, so.
Who are you putting on Sunday, though?
Well, if you're going off of what Van Horn says, and he's gotten the reputation to where you can do this, and I hate to quote one Aaron Rodgers, relax.
For sure.
It's one of those deals where in Van Horn we trust kind of deals, so.
That's fair.
Sounds like it's going to be a kind of patchwork job, as I would say, on Sunday now. And it's going to look a lot like this, where we're going to probably have four or five. And I'm saying he might play around with that depending on Sunday. It's going to get a little interesting now because we're recording this on Thursday night. And we're already told that, well, we were already told earlier in the day because of the weather down in Alabama that they're going to push that for a doubleheader tomorrow. And
which you're skeptical about.
Yep. So the weather doesn't look like it's going to clear out that game one. I mean, there's still some weather that's to be done down there. So if we're having bullpen problems, a doubleheader is not what we want right now.
No, not at all. So Ramage took a, in my opinion, kind of unfair shake on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
was that grand slam wasn't on him, I don't think. Was it?
They gave him four. That'd be the fourth,
so I think it was in the fifth or sixth inning was a grand slam, but I kind of wonder about starting Ramage on a Sunday just to see what that looks like.
I think he can get, especially if you're going to do the patch job kind of thing, I think he can, if you're okay with three or four innings,
I think. Well, you got to be with the patch job, right? Yeah.
I think Ramage would be a guy, and Vermillion's also another guy that I've kind of liked to maybe go a few extra innings. So, Burton? He's still getting some play. I don't get it. He only threw six pitches against Little Rock. He only threw six pitches. He faced two batters, and one of them was a hit, and one was a run. So. There's that.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy.
His control issues, I wouldn't keep going with Burton.
Well, but, at that point, I think they were just reaching.
Yeah,
trying to
at this
do
point,
whatever.
You had this many pitchers, and you also had 17 runs on the board. They all got one. You know, everybody got a run put on them, so there's that.
Hopefully they get that cleaned up. I'm kind of, I feel responsible because this slide has come after my visit to Baumwalker Stadium, so
yeah,
I might not get near that place again.
You done did it, huh? You got all excited. You got to be inside there. We had our insider, and then what happens, Jordan?
To be fair, the day after we kicked that ass. So I don't know how long the bad juju stays there, but maybe that's what's going on with my head. It's just that whole, you know, circle of life thing.
You having sympathy pains?
That might be what it is.
Sick for this three-game skid? And I mean,
it literally makes me sick that they're not doing well.
Yeah. Well, they've got an opportunity here. Auburn, we're traveling. We're better on the road than we were last year, but again, we only won zero series last year, so Yeah. We're on the road against Auburn. Now it's a doubleheader for tomorrow. Game on Saturday. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for Tuesday, though. I'm looking a little out for this baseball team because Hunter Wilson's coming back to Fayetteville. The transfer.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, the transfer from us, from Arkansas, kind of a hero, Grand Salami hero.
Absolutely.
And coming back Tuesday because he transferred to Oral Roberts. So I'm interested to see. He'll definitely get a good round of applause because it's not one of those kind of nasty transfer deals. He did what he had to do to get some playing time because I don't know if it would still be around this go-around. It's a little funky, but he'll still get plenty of love.
What was his position?
Kind of a utility guy? Yeah, kind of used him as a utility. I feel like when he did get fielding time, it was in the outfield. So I didn't think he was an infielder, but wasn't it more of a outfield if we needed it, but more of a DH pitch hit kind of deal?
Yeah, he was definitely DH quite a bit.
Yeah, so.
I actually can't picture a time when he was in the field.
Right. And I mean, it doesn't.
Good energy in the dugout, though. Yeah. That kid was awesome in the dugout.
Yeah, so he definitely seemed like a blast. But going back to this skid that they're starting, and there's my son making a guest appearance, if you can hear him.
Didn't even ask. He just started talking.
Yeah, he's...
Your little 14-month-old didn't ask permission, Dylan.
He's a big fan of Hunter Wilson, and he's doesn't even know Hunter Wilson. So, but 3-game skid here. We got Auburn, like I said, Oral Roberts for the midweek, and it doesn't get any better. We face
we're in shit now.
Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. Like it doesn't get better for us. So it's tough to see right now. Troublesome to say the least. But again, I'm gonna have to do it twice. Quote one Aaron Rodgers. Relax.
Relax.
Yeah.
It's all going to be okay.
So,
actually, you know, I got to give a little shout out to our fans. There hasn't been a whole lot of hating yet after this.
I actually
expected a lot of fire David. No, not fire David, but, you know, somebody questioning his methods and stuff. And right now he's got a young bullpen. And
hey,
he's,
don't forget the fact that we saw that stupidity after how last season ended. Like, there was the Van Horn, even though that they were the runner-up in college baseball, there was still supposed Razorback fans that because of one thing said fire Dave Van Horn.
Because he couldn't coach his guys how to properly field a foul ball and all that?
Yeah, so, and it's tough to tell because you got to whiff through or swift through all the trolls, essentially. And, I'll read through it because they give me a kick out of some of the wonderful takes that they come up with, I guess you could say. And
takes, that's what they are.
No, that's them just trying to get mentioned onto the Twitter dirt or one of our other few segments. That's all that is.
Yeah. So speaking of firing a coach, I guess Kentucky's not
not for his lifetime. We're gonna
Good
yeah
Lord.
And so
moving on.
Yeah, let's move straight on to this college basketball. The carousel is probably in overdrive across the board. You got crazy extensions, which
let's go ahead and talk about that since I did that. But they literally offered this guy a lifetime deal.
Yeah.
To stay in Kentucky. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
like do you put a term limit on that? Like here, what is he like, I don't know, 60 something by now, maybe, late 50s? Like here's a 40-year extension.
Right?
What's the number on that?
We got to put a date on this contract, you know. So lifetime, just that is obviously unheard of. Can only imagine what the buyout situation would be, because I would assume there'd be something crazy. And also, like, college basketball right now. I keep going back to it. Like, it's the sleaziest of the sleazy sports right now when it comes to investigations and all that good stuff that's going on. And you're going to offer up a lifetime one? Because...
to that guy.
To that guy. Like, and I guess that means that they're, like, they're good with their tournament runs. They're good with getting bounced at Elite Eights. And, I mean, I know as Arkansas fans, we're sitting there going, yeah, Elite Eight, let's do it. But it's just when you're forking it up and you're going to say lifetime, because I'm assuming he's up there as the top. Is he the highest paid college basketball coach? I mean, I can look that up, but.
I don't think he is right now.
Not right now. So I think it might be Coach K, huh?
I think it's Coach K, yeah.
Yeah. But when you have that going on, like, you want championships, right?
He is. He is the highest paid.
So.
Yeah, so here's my thing. Aside from the championships and being okay with Elite Eights and stuff, I kind of made a joke about this. I wonder if they offered him the lifetime deal, whatever that means. And then maybe since we're doing you this, we're going to lower the buyout because the FBI is about to come in here and sweep away. And if we get out of this current buyout, it won't be as expensive. Because, like you said, with the sleaziest of the sleazy sports, this guy has just got a – he has a red X on him all the time. And they offered him this. So is that them saying, like, nothing's happening?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, when it comes to whispers and all that kind of stuff, it's never Kentucky. It's never. Like, somehow they have remained completely squeaky clean on this stuff. You have Arizona being mentioned. You obviously have Kansas happening. And, you know, you have other blue blood or big time programs being mentioned, but somehow no one goes over to Kentucky where they have a coach that every program he's gone to has had problems. But somehow, and I would, you know, this is just me, someone is keeping the NCAA away from Kentucky. Because
it's got to be something like
that. They didn't keep him away at UMass, which I understand that one. And then they don't keep him away at Memphis. Well, I mean, they did. They kept him long enough to get away from Memphis. And then it all happened after the fact. So he, you know, jumped ship and he was on a buoy already. He was freaking on one of them speedboats while the Memphis ship was just sinking. So, and it's just crazy to think a lifetime, but it's on level of contracts and stupidity. It goes right there with the Jimbo Fisher one. Giving Jimbo Fisher all that money and that time at Texas A&M. So
before he did anything.
Yep. So, because keep in mind the Florida State tradition and all that stuff, that was Bowden. I mean, he was one of those guys that was basically a coach in waiting as well, as apparently no one likes those if we go back to the supposed coaching rumors, but he got handed the keys to something great. And it eventually fell apart. He didn't do any maintenance on the damn car, so it fell apart. That's exactly what happened. And, like, now Florida State is trouble. They are a dumpster fire. So, congratulations, Texas A&M. Can't wait to beat you this year in football.
Well, that took a turn there. So, what's going on with the Razorbacks coaching search?
Just basically name a name, and that guy has been interviewed. So we've got Musselman from Nevada, we've gotten Alton from UCLA, we've gotten Greg Marshall from Wichita State, which I'll jump right onto the Greg Marshall one right now. So last I saw, Greg Marshall was making $3 million plus at Wichita State. When it comes to that, like, just spur your enthusiasm there, Razorback fans, because, again, told you we weren't going to get Samson. He just got extended at Houston. We're not getting Samson. So I'll be one of those guys that jumps the gun and breaks some news to you. We're not getting Greg Marshall either. Sorry. He's not going to leave Wichita State. His legacy is Wichita State right now. That dude could get offered a lifetime contract at Wichita State.
So that's just not in the realm of possibilities, huh?
I don't think so.
Well,
oh,
news
did,
today.
Did I rub you a little bit there? So.
No, I mean.
I think our initial name that we said on our special edition one as soon as this broke is still.
Chris Beard.
Yeah. It's still a good possibility
today,
here.
Democratic Gazette said, they wrote a column and said that the university is holding out to talk to Chris Beard. Chris Beard is a guy by reports that has an agent but doesn't really use an agent. He's an old school guy, wants to talk to you face to face, hence us waiting because he's sort of busy right now. So I think it's a real possibility that I'm not going to say that's a real possibility that we get him, but I say the fact that we're holding out leans towards a realistic possibility that we'll get him.
Yeah. So I'll back up to our special edition one. Now, I just want to remind everybody, we right now, as at this moment, don't have the access that some of these folks have. We don't have the sources. We get the information pretty much the same as you react. Hopefully, we can start a conversation with everybody. That's what we're trying to do here, keep the talking going. And
trying.
We're not going to sit here and make these crazy names pop out or post it on Twitter with breaking all caps behind it because that's not what we're here to do. We're here to be Hog fans. We hit a record button. We talk to each other. Hopefully we are going to talk to more folks, interview a few folks and all that kind of stuff, but we're not here to throw out crazy names, crazy contracts, crazy numbers or anything like that. We're just taking in the info that we see. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, but you've got just all these crazy names. You've got, like, on hogbeat.com, we'll give a shout out to Nikki here. They have a head coaching search contest. I mean, she's out here saying you can get 2 free months of their access to their website if you correctly name the next head coach for basketball, the number of years on his contract, and the yearly salary. So if no one wins, you can be the closest. So I'm just scrolling through here, and, you know, whole lot of love for Greg Marshall. And, like, apparently we're going to pay over $4 million for him. Okay. It's just I don't think we're there yet. So, and right here, the stuff I was looking earlier, he's at $3.5 million now at Wichita State. And being inside a program, they're going to offer him 4, I would assume, if he's getting anything.
How much of that $4 million are we willing to go over, though?
I believe this one here that I see is a Game of Thrones reference. It says the Night King, 1,000 years, 7 billion souls. Is that a Game of Thrones reference?
I don't believe so, Dylan.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is, but I don't think he's going to win the contest. And here's a guy that posted about Bustleman. Well, sorry, that's already kind of been shut down, too. Oh, and then we've got a Pitino. That was another name that's been popped out.
Oh, God.
Richard Pitino's son. Is that Paul? I think I can't remember, but yeah. So.
Well, you were just saying we're not here to break news and stuff, but I do want to be the first to mention that rumor has that Steve Kerr may or may not come to Fayetteville for an interview.
Oh, yeah, Steve Kerr? Yeah. Well, I also heard that LeBron James bought Luke Walton a ticket to Fayetteville just so that, you know, Luke Walton can take the Fayetteville job instead of getting fired.
Well, he will be fired because LeBron James is at the helm there, but
Right. Well, why don't we just offer LeBron James a head coaching job, right?
I will laser remove this tattoo on my arm of the Razorbacks if that happens.
Well, I think that tattoo is safe and sound. So
I couldn't express the amount of hatred I would have for this place if LeBron James ended up having anything to do with the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, we've gone so out of it that this is exactly what you see on Twitter, just some of the ridiculous names and stuff, like situations that could possibly happen. And I think you just...
So here's a question. Is holding out for Chris Beard just to talk to him, is that a... How do I word this? That could either be the best move of an athletic director we've seen in our lifetime, I guess, but it could also turn into the worst move, because if they do hold out, coaches get hired and stuff in the meantime, and then what?
Yeah, I mean, we lost out on, I don't even know if he was necessarily in the pot of names or whatever, but was it Buzz Williams? He signed with Texas A&M, so... and Alabama has already signed theirs. I do like the
idea. They got that quick, though. They knew they were going.
Yeah, that was definitely real quick. So, I do like the waiting, because there was too much knee-jerk in it anyway. So, in a society where if you jump onto Twitter, Facebook, any of these other places, the forums on like Hogbeat alone, or any of the forums like that, where people can just let loose and hide behind a keyboard, they're upset. Like, it's gone 8 days. Like, this is due diligence, and
they're mad that it's taken this long.
Yeah, they're not. We're not settling. And I think it goes back to, well, if you fired Mike Anderson, you better have had a plan. And honestly, I think maybe Kevin Sampson was the plan, but it was also, I think, maybe the plan, but it wasn't his plan. I think we got Malzahn'd, like I said, on that one. It was just a money raise, and he got his money at Houston. He gets to stay there, doesn't have to list a house, gets to, you know, stay there. So keep on building off of something. So.
Have you heard Mike Anderson's name pop up in anything?
No. I mean, typically, when you're looking at that kind of thing, I feel like he would wait a year. You know, he's too much into this program, I think, to up and leave, first of all, leaving Arkansas and taking another job. I think he loves this area, but... Also, hey, we're giving you buyout money. Might as well take it. You don't want to, you know, dry that up right now. I could actually see him maybe on, like, the SEC Network. Go Pat Bradley, yeah. You know. I think he'd be
go
good in that
aspect.
Go hang
out with your boy. He ain't seen Bradley in a while, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Go shoot her. And then here it is. It always is, and we kind of tongue-in-cheek this last time. Here's flight plans. People are watching donor airplanes that leave from Fayetteville to Minneapolis and Iowa and where else are we going? Reno. So they're connecting those names to Fran McCaffrey from Iowa, Richard Pacino. Help me out here. And then Musselman. So it's just we're all over the place. No one knows.
That's the thing, is no one knows.
Just wait, sit back, and wait until it's Chris Beard. I have a
that would
hard
be
time.
A big grab, dude. But I don't think
I feel like it goes in the same window as with Wichita State and Texas Tech. You know, Marshall came out. Wichita State's gonna try to answer, like, hey, at least give us a second to tell you we're gonna offer you $4 million a year now. And same with Texas Tech, especially coming off of, you know, they're still playing. You know, they're in the Final Four right now, so Texas Tech definitely has the ability, and they'd have even more ability if the Longhorn Network didn't exist, but
but it does.
But it does, so you don't get to have a Big 12 network, and you don't get to have TV revenue, so way to go. But they'll back up, you know, hand them the checkbook and tell them to fill it out, so it's going to be hard to answer those guys. Like, we're going to have to... I think we're going to end up with I wouldn't say a no name, but it's going to be somewhere.
It's probably going to be a no name.
It's going to be somewhere. Like, kind of the most out of left field coaches, or maybe the up and comer tag, Grant McCaslin from University of North Texas. Yeah.
We don't do anything with them right now. We have nothing to do with North Texas.
Yeah, they're still in nasty taste for certain sports, and I think it's not going to be a lot of these names floating around, and none of their, at this point, we need Tennessee to do something.
Hey, what's
because right now, yeah, this just looks awful. Let's just get to the nitty gritty. This coaching
what
search
is
right
the
now just
state
looks like crap.
Of the Texas Tech program class wise? Where do you have
their roster?
Yeah, I wonder if so. I guess you probably know where I'm going with this. It'd
if
be a real dirty
returning.
Move if he leaves a junior senior led class that just makes the Final Four or whatever. Then it comes to Arkansas, but it would be even more improbable that he's going to leave a young group
right
at Texas Tech after this year.
So they have 4 seniors and 1 junior. I mean, they're still, it seems like they've kind of done it the right way, been lucky enough to have guys stick around the program.
Well, that might be a good thing for us then.
But they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sophomores, 1, 2, 3, 4 freshmen. So this is how you build a team. Yeah, this is how you build a team. It's well balanced across the board. So
you're not a fan of our young team here, Dylan?
In case you didn't know, they're a really young team. And then I guess I don't know if we mentioned it, but it's it. Oh, what is it? Emory Simpson. He's transferring.
He's gone.
Oh, yeah. So surprised that after we fire a coach, someone transfers. I'm surprised it's just
Evers
one.
Evers doesn't like that.
I'm surprised it's just one right now. So
that is surprising, but
I think guys are holding out.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that it would just kind of be a snowball effect. But now that it hasn't, I'm kind of leaning that way, that they're waiting to see who they end up getting.
Right. So I think maybe Chaney's one of those guys that that's going back to the, the forums and the social media and all that kind of stuff. Folks, when, Mike Anderson was still here, it was Chaney's going to transfer, blah, blah, blah. And supposedly that was because Chaney wasn't happy with Mike Anderson, but then as soon as Mike Anderson is let go, he's one of the first to send out a tweet saying that he was like a father figure to him. So, again, don't trust everything you read on the internet. So,
what?
Yeah, man. So, dash Abraham Lincoln. Oh, boy. So, that kind of just leads perfectly into a Twitter dirt, because this whole thing, coaching search, is kind of a gold mine.
A whole lot of dirt, yeah.
Yeah, so let's go right into it. One of our new segments, our Elite Mobile Detailing LLC Twitter dirt segment.
I normally hit you with the number, but I lost it, so Google him. Elite Mobile Detail LLC on Google. You can find him there.
He's also on Facebook, so. Good creator.
He needs to give us a better ad readout, because we're just freestyling this. I've talked to him. I'm like, hey, bro, I need you to write something out. And he's like, I don't know. I'm good at what I do. I can't just say that.
Well, we know he listens to the podcast, so.
He does listen to the podcast. So when you're listening to this, asshole, give me a rundown so I can read it.
There it is, man. Shots are fired at sponsors. Wow. So
unreal. Unreal.
Anyway, going back to Elite Mobile Detail, they'll come to you. They'll shine up your ride, clean those there wheels, you protect your investment, and all that good stuff.
Hey, so one of his big things he does do is ceramic coating, which is a big deal, and he does it. Has a pretty good price on that. So, but anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll go right into the Twitter dirt, which kind of we've already been doing. And that, for me, I'll just jump right into it. For me, it is everyone wanting to break the news that they have found the next head coach. They know who it is. They've got sources out the wazoo. But yet, you've got like two followers.
I don't know this one. Where's this coming from?
You just see countless people, and it, you know, we understand that we're starting a podcast here and all that good stuff. And again, going back to, hey, we're not in the realm right now. We hope to get there, and we hope to get you information, accurate information, once we get there. But right now, we're gonna take it in just like the rest of you, and you know, talk about it. That's the whole idea here. But we're not, for all intents and purposes, we're not going to send out false stuff unless it's completely confirmed. We're watching a press conference, and, I mean, we all know that a press conference doesn't even necessarily mean a head coach.
You can't let that go, can you?
I will take a Dana Altman shot any chance I can get. So
just kidding.
Just kidding. Yeah, that's kind of my go-to there. Like, dude didn't even know how to do a hog call, but he was out before the hog call was even finished. So
he didn't need to know how.
But yeah, so congratulations. You are my Twitter dirt, and it's a collective effort. I've got too many to actually, you know, put on blast here. But y'all know who you are. You might be some people posing as podcast. You might be some folks posing as whatever. And any verification or anything of the sort like what we do here. Just stop. Take it in. Wait. See what happens. Offer your input. But if you ain't got nothing, don't throw some name out and be like, oh, well, sorry, that just dried up. You know why it dried up? Because you never had a source contact or anything of the thing. any of the sort like that. So stop it.
Anything our producer to get coming in hot. Elite Mobile Detail LLC phone number is 832-540-8013.
Oh,
thanks, Luke.
So, someone's looking out for Elite Mobile Detail LLC there. So, but yeah, so stop it.
Quit being ignorant.
So I'm going to hit him with it. You ready for this, Jordan?
I'm ready.
Sick of it.
You got to go slower.
Oh.
I'm sick of it.
Oh, okay.
So my Twitter dirt is kind of like off the wall, a little crazy. Has absolutely, positively nothing to do with anything we've talked about today. But did you see the New York Jets jerseys?
I really want to start chanting Jets just because I find that to be so obnoxious when they just start like spelling. It's like they're trying to remind themselves that we can spell. They sit there and they'd be doing the Jets business.
So was it Bleacher Report that leaked it? Yeah,
that's one of the folks that I saw first do it.
And then today they're like, oh, shit, here's our new jerseys.
In case you didn't already see these,
But yesterday. I encourage our listeners to go Google those. Because I think they're absolutely hideous.
Oh, look at
they
that.
Look like they look like high school, college. I don't know. Doesn't look like anything in the NFL. I think they're hideous. I'm already not a fan of the Jets anyway because Darnold's a bitch. Oops. But I just maybe he's the reason I hate it the most. I don't know. Is your boy Bertaccini cool with them?
Oh yeah, you know they're going Super Bowl right there, man.
That's Super Bowl worthy equipment right there, right?
Oh man, this I'm looking at it right now with my eyeballs. I see like an awkwardness between three green schools of like a cheap like a Rydell or Starter Oregon, you know, and then like we threw in some Marshall in there for a taste, and just so we can, you know, be like the common folk, we threw in some North Texas. So it just kind of, yeah, I know. So it just kind of, it's there.
It's hideous.
And then their hashtags take flight. So.
Oh Lord, what are those?
Yeah, well, they're not going to take flights to the playoffs. I'll tell you that right now. So.
Man, whatever. That was almost, I don't know. That,
Well, see, here's the funny thing, and I'm assuming it's because he wasn't available, but they don't even have Bell as a model for these.
Oh, I noticed that. He wasn't even part of the whole runway crap they did.
Your biggest acquisition, you're spending all the money for. Well, not even all that money, so whatever. But
they didn't spend much money on those jerseys. Okay, yeah,
they held out. Bell held out to become a Jet, and then I bet he's holding out to wear those uniforms. He's like, if I gotta wear those, I ain't wearing that shit until August.
He don't want to wear them any more than he has to.
Right. I thought I'd put that in my contract.
That was almost our next segment for me, almost. I might have to merge the two together there, but
you feel anyway. it feel like you're burning you up a little bit too.
I don't know why that bothered me so bad. It's just
it definitely is. Hashtag take flight.
It was just like, man, those are hideous. And then there was a thing on Twitter, is like, so is this the University of Oregon Jets? Like, and then I saw the whole runway thing and Darnold's little, I'm surprised he didn't throw a pick on the runway, like when he was walking out there, fumble his helmet.
Right, yeah. They're probably a little hesitant to give him even a football to pose with for pictures, huh? Cameramen are ducking.
There's no guarantee that when the cameraman snaps the picture, it's going to be in his hands, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. Well, let's end that with just Jets suck. So,
yeah. But
let's see. We got spring football. We got spring game Saturday. So, that's something to look forward to. Hopefully the weather can hold off and we can have a decent spring game, because, you know, alternating weeks or alternating years between Little Rock, this is the only opportunity we have to see a spring game for the next 2 years in Fayetteville.
Kind of crappy, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a cop-out between both. I mean, either way, if you're going to sit there and be divided between Northwest Arkansas, Little Rock, War Memorial, you know, Razorback Stadium, all that stuff, like, this can't be the solution. Like, we're gonna give you Missouri, and then when we don't have Missouri, we're going to give you the spring game? Like, you can't be happy with that. That is not a solution.
No.
Ultimately, the solution is not to play there anymore, but... I said it.
Well, what do you, you and the producer are going to that, right?
Yeah, I will be at the Little Rock game, so we will.
No, I'm talking about the
spring game. Oh, the spring game? Yeah, on Saturday. Yeah, we will be there, of course. So we'll take it all in, and like I said, hopefully we will be dry for most of it. They wrapped up their final practice before that. Let's see. Got some notes on that. We're getting some guys healthy, so there was no real major injuries for the first time to actually report. So Robinson came back, and Vest, we gained two linemen back on the offensive side. And then McClure came back in as nickelback, and there was a Dalton Hyatt mention. He had a flu all last week. So he's back.
Well, so he's there.
Yep.
Good to know. Hope he's doing okay.
But
let me down.
We still had a few players that were in green jerseys, and that was Kirby Adcock, a tight end or a offensive lineman. Tight end Chase Harrell, who was the converted from wide receiver. Defensive back Micah Smith, who actually is a safety. Running back Devall Whaley, and then linebacker Hayden Henry. And they've been in green pretty much all spring, so it was running through that kind of thing. Boyd did a few deals with non-contact in the yellow jersey. Same with Mike Woods, who wasn't actually dressed out, but he was rocking a yellow jersey because he just had that wrist surgery on there. Some of the folks that were missing was O'Grady and Colton Jackson, but there was Colton Jackson.
Colton Jackson's out.
Yep, had a procedure done on his knee. And then we had a lower back injury with Cheyenne O'Grady. And then obviously Connor Nolan wasn't there. He was traveling to Bama. Yeah. But I don't know if this necessarily means anything, but they put a hog on there. They were out there in red helmets, and there was a hog logo on there, so maybe they gained the hog or however that was. It was the first time this spring that they wore a helmet with a hog on it, but everything else had a hog on it. So
that's like taking it all the way. Was that our pilot episode, if you will?
Yeah.
Talking about the hog?
Yeah.
Earning it?
It sounded really cool at the time, and
I think it's just a crock of crap now.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of how it
you can't
felt.
Is it a coincidence that everybody earned it at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on now.
So, but ultimately, the probably biggest highlight was that Johnny Majors, who was a former Arkansas assistant coach, was actually in attendance. He was on the 64 championship team. And he's got a lot of history with the coaching staff, mainly Chavis, who is probably the closest to him. He actually coached under Johnny Majors in Tennessee. So that's kind of cool for the younger guys, see some older folks. He's won essentially, I think, two national championships. He had one in 64 with us and I think 76 with Pittsburgh. So it's a guy that, sure, some of those younger guys probably have no idea who it is, but he's in there, you know. Doing that whole deal. And folks have been talking about this attack drill, which, I mean, they're acting like it's really a new drill. I've kind of seen it throughout. It's pretty basic where you have one player go up against three, and then on the backside of that three is an attack, a tackle dummy or something of that nature. And basically your attack guy has to go through three blocks to get to the tackle dummy. So there have been
called that something alley.
Yeah. So
back in the day.
It's kind of common for me, and they've mentioned it, I think, for like the last 2 weeks, honestly. Like, it was groundbreaking stuff. Again, this is the media taking something, and it's a high energy drill because you're going to have four guys in this deal, and one guy has to go against all three of them. It's a gauntlet, essentially. And you're going to, you know, go head-to-head on each one of them. And honestly, it's kind of one where you rarely get all. You get it, you know. So they had one of the highlights. It was actually a walk-on receiver, Jackson Sally. So shout-out here. He went through there. He blocked Shamir Nash to the ground on one rep, and then he fought through three players to touch the dummy. So there you go.
Hey. There's your chance.
That's going to be a moment for that guy. If he doesn't ever actually have playing time, he went against some guys that will have some playing time.
So right.
It's going to be a story, so way to go.
That used to be, back in my playing days, that was the opening drill for 2-a-days every year.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Some alley, I think, is what we call it. Monster alley, I don't know. But, yeah, that's not new.
Yeah.
Maybe it's new to the university over the past few years, but
it's a high energy one. Gets them hyped. It was actually the one that I think they did a little clip on social media. I think it might have been Trey Knox doing the how, or maybe it was. But ultimately, what we're seeing here is wide receivers blocking. So there you go.
Yeah.
that's the kind of the takeaway you need to
not
get
just
here.
Blocking, but they're getting after it. That's an aggressive drill.
Yeah. So you got the wide receivers getting down and dirty, which you're gonna need in a spread run game. So, that wraps it up for early spring football there, and we've got. Do we want to go right into burning it up? I mean, you kind of already been burned up about the Jets. So,
hey man, we gotta get the sponsor ads here.
All right, so. We will move into the Burning You Up segment, which is brought to you by Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop. They are located at 2101 North 2nd Street. Their number, you just got to keep punching the 6 and 3 repetitively. 6-3-6-3-6-3-6. So,
ooh.
Yeah, a lot of prank calls.
I know you because I don't know what you just said.
A lot of prank calls going that way, so...
Hey, for our listeners out of town, though, you got to throw the 479 in front
479.
Of there, right?
Yep. northwest on this side, northwest Rogers, Arkansas. All right. Well, you want to continue on that Jets? They still burning you up?
No, I'm moving on to something else now.
Okay. All right. What you got for us?
I'm sick. I haven't been sick in a long time.
Okay. Oh, you're literally sick. This isn't a I'm sick of it. I am physically sick.
Oh, God. I'm the grumpy bastard on this show, aren't I? No, so...
You're definitely the older.
Oh, whatever. So, I'm getting, I'm sick. I don't know what's going on. I'm hoping just allergies pass on pretty quick. But I haven't had anything wrong with me other than the three knee surgeries in the past year and a half. And I'm fixing to go to Nashville, Tennessee, tomorrow to go to the Supercross races. I don't know if we got any motocross, Supercross fans listening, but if you do, hit us up on Twitter. Let me know, because I will talk to you about it for a long time. But, yeah, I'm sick all of a sudden, and I'm heading out of town, like, supposed to have fun, and I'm probably going to be in the back seat on the way up there, over there. Just, you know, I'm working on a tissue collection right now as we speak. So that's burning me the hell up. I don't like it.
You're burning up the tissue paper right now. So we'll have to get a full report on our Sunday recording on that Supercross. Hopefully, yeah, stay a little bit healthy, get a little bit better on that drive. But
we got to hurry up and wrap this show up so I can hit this NyQuil bottle real quick.
So leaning into mine, what's really burning me up is to give a guy his chance. I'm looking at you, Memphis Grizzlies. You ain't got an opportunity to make some playoffs, but you give a guy a 10-day contract, which, all right, cool. But then you waive him essentially, I think it's 3 days after you give him that contract. And that's Dusty Hannes, who he's been playing through the D-League, and he went through the Memphis Hustle, their D-League team there. Was really stand out for him. I think he actually owns a 3 record. That's kind of, you know, off the top of my head there. So you can fat check me on that, whatever. But we all know who Dusty is. So,
oh yeah,
dude's a lights out shooter. And I saw past game he played in for the Memphis Grizzlies, part of his 10-day contract. He played 14 minutes, had 4 points and 4 rebounds. So, but they cut him as of 4 hours ago on Thursday. So his dream is still alive. I mean, he definitely still has opportunity. Hopefully it gets his name out there, being on their deal. And you have career guys, name escapes me, for the Lakers. He's like almost like 50 years old or whatever. And he's kind of like a D-League legend that they seem to bring up the last 2 years because he makes a run. But, yeah, not cool. Not cool, Grizzlies. Like, let them play out the season, essentially. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
like,
no kidding. There's not much left, right?
You ain't got much to salvage and see what you got in a young guy and kind of help him out, because he's been helping your organization in forms of the hustle and that kind of stuff. So, not cool. Burning me up. That is our Burning Me Up segment, or Burning You Up segment, which is brought to you by Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop. Now, we got something that kind of has to have a little disclaimer on it. So, I'm the younger of the two here.
Damn, that's 2 age drops.
Yeah, well, we're close-ish. but we're just kind of reminiscing. We got spring wrapping up. We got football coming back. And we've got all this kind of cloudy stuff over Razorbacks and made us reminisce a little bit. And we wanted to come together, make a list of JRD's top 10 moments in our lifetime. So
let's put that out there again. In our lifetime.
In our lifetime. So you're more than welcome to add us at JRD Hawkcast.
In fact, we encourage it.
We encourage it fully. Use the hashtag JRD Hawkcast, and you can tell us your top moments in your lifetime. And if you got something to say, DM, whatever. We might even try to get you on the show so you can talk about some of the top moments. So
this is Thursday, April 4th. We're going to post the 10 through 6 after we finish recording here. We're going to post that on Twitter. Hopefully get some reactions out of you guys. Like Dylan just said, if you want to reorganize, add to it, talk crap about it, I don't care. Just interact with us, people. That's all we want, man. So I'll start it if I can get through this. So yeah, this isn't a what's that?
No, we're good.
Okay. So this isn't a standout moment. Anybody listening probably won't remember it. But the little asterisk beside this one is this was back in 2005. Darren McFadden, of course. Obviously, watched some Razorbacks. Liked football. Didn't really watch it much, to be honest. You know, chasing the girlies and stuff, whatever. But I was actually at a girlfriend's house when this happened. And her stepdad had the Razorbacks on. They were playing Auburn. And I'd heard of Darren McFadden, of course. You know, Felix Jones, that whole thing. But sat down and watched with him a little bit. And next thing you know, he pops out the middle. McFadden does. 55-plus yard run, just left everybody. I was like, holy crap. Had no idea that he was – I've heard about him, seen glimpses. But watched that, I'm like, this dude's legit. And that's pretty much my segue into hardcore watching Razorback football, Darren McFadden, 55-something yard run.
All right, so that is our number 10, but we're also going to kind of put a slash in there because number 10 also includes my moment like that. So you can have your historian start looking at this. I was born in Silent Springs, Arkansas. Shout out Panthers. And born and raised. So when I grew up a Hawk fan. That was my family and all that good stuff. But the real moment that I can actually remember, was Matt Jones getting into open field off of a read option play to open up a second quarter. And he is going, I want to say it seemed like it was 100 yards, but it was probably about 60 yard run. And he finished it off with a dunk of the goalpost. So at that moment, I was like, and that's what made me, really just enjoy Matt Jones at that point, and it was just a guy I want to follow. Like, you just didn't really see quarterbacks at that time move like that, and he was before his time, so it definitely got my attention and got me to where I love this game of football. And
now
just,
you're stuck a Jags fan.
Now I'm stuck a Jags fan, so take that how you will. But I remember basically – you watched it on Saturday, obviously, and that was back when it was like Farm Bureau, and you had to pick it up on the, you know, local channel, and we didn't have SEC Network. And after that, the Sunday paper would come out, and right there on the front cover of the sports section was Matt Jones dunking it on that goalpost. Yep. And I was like, that is so awesome. Like, great shot. And I remember cutting that thing out, and I took, I think it was duct tape from my dad's garage, and I put that up on the wall. And I had that right there, and it was essentially my redneck cheap poster, and it stayed on my wall probably since I moved out of the house, and, you know, had that nice faded to it and everything like that, but that's definitely the moment, so... Basically, number 10 for us is the moment that really stuck out to us and, you know, made us, one of us at least, tattoo a hog on us.
Yeah, I did. Anywho.
So, moving on.
Number 9, we were questionable about this because it was such an epic play. But as far as, like, what it meant to the, you know, program at the time and stuff, wasn't a whole lot. But Joe Adams, punt return versus Tennessee. Did you get that audio?
I did not get that audio. But,
oh, man.
I know. It is some great audio. I dug deep to try to find some Chuck Barrett audio. Couldn't find any there. But the ESPN call of it is wonderful as well. Because if you're a Razorback fan and if you're listening to this podcast, you most likely know the punt return that we're talking about. And it is a work of art. It's poetry in motion, really. But the line from that call, once he starts getting some open space and it says, Houdini's in the house and he's wearing number 3. Yeah. And I'm like, what a line. I could never do a job like that because I could not come up with that in the moment. Because even I enjoy football in its entirety. I have a completely different love for the Razorbacks. But when it comes to football, I'll watch any level of it, even AAF. Well, I would.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. They gone.
They gone.
But
that was a woo, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. But so even if I was in that role of being a commentator and I had to do that, it would have been like I would have been bleeped all the way through.
So,
I would have been way too hyped to watch a play like that.
So my stepdad, he listens to us as well, and I was at his house when this was happening. He was in the kitchen. I was in the living room, and you had a line of sight to the TV from the kitchen, and obviously you have one in the living room. If not, you're not living rooming right. But he catches it, and he starts down. I'm like, oh, no, what the hell? You go, holy shit, go. And Michael's like, what the hell, go. So that was my call.
Yeah.
If I was on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, there was so many emotions going on there because from a technical standpoint, everything was wrong. Going backwards.
Number one,
fielding
not
it.
Fair catching it.
Yeah, so fielding it right there, and then it just...
And literally had, I swear he operated in a 7-foot area, like when he was doing all of his moves and stuff, because he was on the sideline essentially the whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty of it, because any of these, the majority of a punt return that goes house, they're using every bit of width of that field. So
right,
that was not the case.
No, he had, like, I mean, maybe exaggerating, but no more than 10 feet, I don't think.
No.
But then he went backwards and forwards and sideways, and I believe... You can fact check me on this, but I believe I have actually counted that 9 Tennessee volunteers had a shot at him.
No, I mean, and I'm pretty sure they had some come off the sideline, 15, 17, something like that. So
just beautiful, beautiful. But number 8, probably this, man, this was epic. This was pretty damn epic. The Qualls dunk against Kentucky back in 2011.
Sounds about right. But also would be probably truly Mike Anderson's best moment here, what do you think? I mean, emotionally, as Hog fans, watching him, or not watching him, because he wasn't Qualls making the tip back, but beating Kentucky like that, just... Anytime you can beat them at a buzzer, any game you can win at a buzzer is going to be exciting.
But in that fashion. That boy damn near hit his head on the Raptors.
Yeah.
Raptors. That was it Madden with the 3 attempt?
Yep.
From the corner. And then, oh, man, and then boom.
Shout out to Kentucky for not boxing out.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Hey, breaking news. The Shorthorns are the NIT champions.
Oh, wow.
First reported here.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit.
Yeah. So
I'm going to let you handle number 7 here in our rundown, Dylan.
Number 7, a whole lot of good things happened. We kind of maybe had to go a little back and forth on this one, but I would say one of the highlights of the Bielma, whatever you want to call it, but 17-0 LSU, the Storm Field for the boot, all the goodness. And why I would say it'd be a little higher is because I was on that field. Not only I, but my wife, Stephanie, and producer, Luke Griggs, right beside it. And the feeling being there in person and the build up to it was amazing, because we're going into that, controlling the game, the whole game. We had LSU fans that were sitting next to us, and they did not finish the game. We'll just say that they disappeared. apparently too many hog calls in their direction, whatever. But when it's getting to midway through the third, you start seeing some filing out happening, and we're ending a drought. Like, some folks don't like the look, as they would say, of storming the field. And when I say some people, again, this is a Bernaccini shot. So for some reason, JB hates that we storm the field at that point. But that
hates
also,
passionate winning. That's weird.
So this goes back to actually being a Hog fan and understanding that moment and beating LSU in that fashion and after all the stuff we had to go through. And at that time, again, we're a very knee-jerk reaction fan base, but at that time, that was the best thing that could have happened. And we felt like that was a turning point for the football team because that was an SEC win, and we finally had one, and it was LSU, and it was a shutout, and we had to. So, yeah.
Capped off with a Shorthorns win in the Texas Bowl, too. I mean, that was a good month or so for us.
Yeah, so we stormed that field. University paid that fine. There would have been, there was GoFundMes for it. I mean, every single one of those people would have put in a dollar to pay for that fine.
And do it again.
And do it again. Absolutely. So.
And we're going to do it again.
So, yes. 17
to
nothing.
So, what year was this number six? Was it, what did we say? Was it 11?
Number six was 11. Yes, number six.
So
not
2011.
The LSU.
No, not the LSU win.
Yeah, moving
on. So 2011, Texas A&M game. Tyler Wilson, Jarius Wright went off in the second half of this game. And I didn't pick this because it was the last time we won against A&M, but it just so happens to be the last time we won against A&M. But epic, epic comeback. You got those stats, Dylan?
Yeah, so going back to comeback at the probably bulk of it, we were at down 21-7 at one point in the second quarter, and just wasn't looking too good. And then
it was an embarrassing 21-7. I remember that.
Yeah, because they put on points on us real quick, 14-0 real quick in the first quarter. But obviously the highlights of that, Tyler Wilson junior year there, trying to make that NFL money. And he went.
Could have. Should have.
30 for 51, 510 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Half of that was to one Jarius Wright. 13 receptions, 281 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
More than half of that.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So eventually, the final score was 42-38. You remember old Zach Hocker kicking special teams for the brand.
I knew that was coming. But so that's our 10 through 6 greatest moments, quote unquote, in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, again.
For Arkansas Razorback Sports. Give us a shout out on Twitter, what you think. Like I said, we're going to put this up there. It'll be up there by the time you listen to this on Twitter. And we'd love to hear what y'all think. Tell us. I would actually be interested to know if anybody remembers that McFadden run against Auburn that I'm talking about. Wasn't flashy, just straight hauling ass down the field. But
just McFadden doing McFadden things.
Just 5-1-0 in it.
So, again, that is our first half of our top Hog moments in our lifetime. You can join in the action, hashtag JRD Hogcast or at JRD Hogcast. And until next time, woo pig silly. All right, the baseball team is going to have a doubleheader tomorrow, Friday, April 5th against Auburn. And then we got tennis team at Tennessee, also Friday. And then we've got the women's tennis team here playing Georgia. We got the softball team playing Florida at Florida. Gymnastics had their NCAA regional. We also have another tennis match Friday in Tennessee Tech. Golf team is going to Augusta, Georgia, Saturday, April 6th. The baseball team will finish up April 6th. And softball, we got gymnastics going all weekend. And we also have track and field regionals at College Station. Until next time, Woo Pig Suey, go watch them Hogs for that spring game.